Our God really is an awesome God. Amen? Happy Sabbath, everyone. Now, let's talk about money for a second, okay? Now, I find money to be fascinating, because not only can it bring such positive feelings of relief or pleasure or thrill, it can also bring just as powerful negative feelings, such as greed or stress or fear, right? And I think I can speak for all Pathfinders when we say that acquiring the funds to go to Oshkosh is a very stressful task, but it's so relieving and exciting when we can get our payments in on time, because it's just one step closer to going to Oshkosh. Now, imagine with me, if you will, that you have a $20 bill in your pocket, okay? Now, just sitting there, you're not really thinking about it or worrying about it, right? It's just a piece of paper in your pocket. Now, what if it were to fall out, though? Suddenly, it becomes something worth worrying about, something that's important that you want to get back. Now, that $20 bill had a lot more value to you than you realized, because otherwise you wouldn't want to get it back, right? If you don't care about it, you wouldn't want it back. It kind of reminds me of the story of the lost sheep. You know, the shepherd, he has 100 sheep, and he cares about all of them. But it could be easy to understand with that many sheep that he might not notice if, like, one slips away or something like that, right? But as we know how the story goes, he's bringing them back at the end of the day, and he's counting them as they go through the gate. And he keeps counting 1, 2, 3, you know, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. And that's the last sheep. So what does he do? He locks away the ones that he has to keep them safe, and he goes out in search of his one lost sheep, right? Now, I'm going to switch gears for a second here. My grandparents, my father's parents, are both avid bird watchers. They've spent the better part of 40 or 50 years traveling to different countries and across our own country here, finding birds that I'd never even heard of and probably can't spell or pronounce at all. And they've spent all this time developing such a vast knowledge of birds. And for as long as I can remember, they've been passing that knowledge down onto myself and my sisters. And I remember being a little kid, and we'd go and visit grandma and grandpa, you know, and they'd always take us out on a bird watching trip and would always, you know, take my sister and I and show us how to find birds and where to look for them and what to listen for and the differences between this bird and that bird. And they gave us our own bird books for our birthdays so that we could keep track of everything that we saw. It was really fun. It was really cool. I started getting it kind of figured out. Like, I could tell the difference between one bird and another, or, you know, a similar type of bird to another, or, you know, and so on. But one bird I could never figure out, and still to this day, I can't tell the difference between them, is different species of sparrow. Because to me, they all look the same. They all look kind of boring and not particularly special. When I think of a generic and boring bird, I tend to think of a sparrow. Especially when compared to something like an eagle, or like a woodpecker, or like the obnoxious little starlings that we have everywhere. Compared to those, sparrows always seem kind of insignificant, not particularly special, and just kind of boring. Now, our theme for this Pathfinder year is priceless, not forgotten. And my verse that I've got for this is Matthew 10, 29 through 31. It says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a single penny? And not a single sparrow can fall without your father realizing it. And every single hair on your head is numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are more valuable than an entire flock of sparrows." Now, at this time, Jesus was instructing his disciples to go and spread the good news to the world that God had sent to earth a savior to rescue them from the hopelessness of death and the restlessness of guilt. But the disciples knew that they would face some pretty vicious opposition from members of their own family, from public officials, and even just people that they'd never met before on the streets. And they thought that God just didn't care. And Jesus told them not to worry, because God cares, notices, and sees every little thing happening in their lives. And he reinforces this with his usage of the sparrow, right? One of the least significant and least valuable birds around, not a single one could fall without God knowing it. And every single hair on their heads was individually recognized and numbered by God. So they were more valuable than they could ever imagine. And don't worry, I know that some of you all are follically challenged, And that doesn't mean that God loves you any less. In fact, he might love you more because it won't take him as long to count all of them. Now, delving a little deeper, we see that the Bible actually talks about our own self-worth in God's eyes in several places. Just to name a few, we have Genesis 1:26. We are all made in his image, the image of God. Psalms 139:14. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. And Ephesians 1:13. We are all God's own possession. Now, this is just a few, but there is a trend that I notice with all of these. Look at the wording. We are. We are made in his image. We are chosen as God's own possession. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. These are all things that God has done for us, not things that we've done for ourselves, nor are they things that we have earned or deserved in any way. When you really take a look at it, we've done a lot to not earn them, to not deserve them. And yet we still receive all of these gifts and blessings from God, blessings that we receive by faith, not through seeing, but by believing in him. And this is made very clear to me in a verse that we're all very familiar with, as it's probably one of the earliest ones we ever learned, John 3:16. Feel free to recite it with me now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice it says, whoever believes in him, not whoever sees him, and not just anyone. Anyone who believes in him will have everlasting life, everlasting value, and will never be forgotten. We're all here as God's disciples, right? We're all here to spread the news to the world that Jesus has rescued us from the hopelessness of death and the restlessness of guilt. And what better news is there, though, that he died for us, and God loves us so much that he sent his only son to rescue us. Just like the lamb and the $20, you know, it may be easy to think that we are not valued by God, as there's so many of us. But as soon as one of us disappears, look at how he reacts. He does everything he can to get us back. And he wouldn't do that if he didn't value us all immensely, right? And the problem is, though, is that there is a very powerful force that's pulling us away from God, and that is Satan, right? And thoughts of not being loved or not being worthy of all these gifts that God has given to us, they keep us from using these gifts and enjoying these gifts. And God gave these gifts to us to help us to spread the good news of God's love, right? And by not using them, we're not spreading that news. And that's exactly what Satan wants. He wants us to sit here silent and not be sharing the news of God's love. He wants us to be doubting ourselves and doubting God. And all of us, from children, teenagers, and adults alike, we all struggle with feelings of our self-worth and our self-value. But the thing that's important to realize is that's our value that we feel like we have on earth. And whatever that value may be, it pales in comparison to the value that we have in God's eyes, the value that God has for us. I am worthless is a message of Satan's oppression. I am priceless is a declaration of God's redemption. So declare to the world today that I am priceless. Believe in him, and you will have infinite value. You will never be forgotten, and you will have everlasting life.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I'd like to start with a prayer, so let's all bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Sabbath day, and thank you for the opportunity for us Pathfinders to help in the church service and to be a witness to others. And please be with us throughout the rest of the day as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so one thing I want you all to notice is this item I have right beside me. So if I open it up, you will see that this is a Lego creation I built on Tuesday afternoon. It's pretty cool, right? I mean, I love it. So here's some more context. I was at home and I was bored. So I started walking around the house for a few minutes. I noticed in one of our upstairs rooms, there were these big buckets filled with different Lego pieces, varying in size, color, and function. And if you know me, I'm a very curious and creative little one, so I stepped into the room and started looking at all the different Lego pieces. I was looking through, and nothing actually caught my eye for a while until I found this piece, this circle. And it intrigued me so much that I just built and built around it. Sure enough, 10 minutes went by, 30 minutes went by, and an hour went by. An hour later, I had finished creating my Lego creation. Now, to be honest, when I started building, I didn't have any specific plan in mind. I had no idea what it was going to be. And I actually had no intention of telling this story either when I was making it. However, it wasn't until after I made it that something got my attention. When I finished building it, I was proud, being honest, because I usually don't play with Legos. That's not really what I do. I prefer to draw. But the fact that I created something with something I don't typically do, that seemed kind of cool to me. So I put it up on the shelf for display. And there it was, in all of its splendor and glory, my creation. Well, here's some more context. During that night, I had a dream. In my dream, I got out of my bed, and I decided I wanted to take another look at my creation. So I went to the room, and it was still at night in my dream. And there was a little bit of light coming through the window, so I could still sort of see stuff. And I went to the shelf, but to my surprise, it wasn't there anymore. This is when I got into what I like to call panic mode. So I turned on the bedroom light, and I'm looking all around, and what I found made me feel all sorts of emotions, such as anger, sadness, confusion, and anxiety. My creation had been knocked off the shelf and had been completely destroyed. The next morning, remembering my dream, I raced to the bedroom where it was, and I was relieved to find that it was still there and it was unharmed. But then I realized something I would like to share with all of you. Us humans are God's special creation. He worked with his hands to create us. He molded us to be in his image. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14 says that God has formed my inward parts. He wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to him, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I realized that the feelings of horror I had when my creation was destroyed in my dream, those are the same feelings God has when he loses one of us. I had this mental connection with this creation of mine when I was done building it, because I was proud for making it. And when it fell, I was hurt. And that's the same thing with God. The theme for this Pathfinder year has been priceless and not forgotten. Throughout the year, we've learned the texts in Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, which says that we are more valuable than many sparrows, and that God cares for the sparrow, so how much more does he care for us? Now, a lot of people feel that God has forgotten them, that God has abandoned them, that he doesn't care for us, and that God even hates us. We sometimes can feel alone in this world, so alone that we have no one to turn to. And that can cause a voice in our head to develop that turns from just a quiet whisper to a loud scream. It says, if people don't like you, then God must really hate you. Or, look at you, you're going through this tough time, nothing's getting better. God must really hate you. He doesn't care for you, right? We feel alone, hopeless, depressed, scared, anxious, troubled, worthless, and we feel we are living dirt. And this is a very real problem in our society, and it needs to be addressed. There are some quotes that say, if you want the rainbows, you have to deal with the rain. Everything happens for a reason. Happiness can be taken for granted. We often give up during these hard times. We feel that they bring us down, and when we cry and try to get back up, they just laugh and bring us down farther. We feel like we're drowning in a place where we can see everyone else breathing, and we want to give up. But look at the Bible. Look at Joseph. He was sold by his own brothers. He was wrongfully thrown in prison, and he was left there for a very long time. Look at Elijah. Jezebel was after him, so he fled. He thought he was the only one keeping God's word, and he was being chased down, so he felt worthless, and he wanted nothing but to die. Look at Peter. He promised he would never deny Jesus, but when the time came, he denied his best friend, not once, not twice, three different times, and he felt worse than ever for denying the Son of Man. And look at Job. He lost all of his family. His wife stopped associating with him. His friends thought he was a terrible sinner. He lost everything he owned, and on top of that, his health got way worse, and he got massive boils all over his body. Sounds pleasant? These are very tough times, but we are forgetting the rest of these stories. God led Joseph to become a ruler in the land of Egypt. God spoke to Elijah in a still small voice, and Elijah trusted in him. Jesus forgave Peter, and Peter repented for his betrayal, and God used Peter to build up the Christian church in Acts. God gave Job more children, beautiful children, and he got his health and wealth all back. Never, ever give up. Hard times may be going on, and that's okay. Because being a Christian, it's not always going to be easy, but in the end, it will be worth it. We can't give up if things get hard, if we feel they're too hard. Things will always work out in the end, because Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to those who love God." Things will always get better, just give it time. Exodus 14, verse 14 says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And 1 Corinthians 10:13 states that God will never give you a temptation beyond what you are able to bear. And with that temptation, he will provide a way of escape also, so you will be able to endure it. We need to have faith to know eventually we will get back up from these hard times with God's help. It takes time, but we will get there. And no matter what happens, how hard life knocks us down, we always need to get back up. Faith is everything. We'll have times in our lives where we don't understand what's going on. But God has a bigger picture. He knows everything. He knows that this will be okay in the end. He will get us through it. After all, God's timing isn't our timing either. We need to be patient and trust that he will work this out. It could take weeks, it could take months, even years, but eventually this pain will subside and happiness will take its place. All we need for that is faith. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We need to trust that God is still working in our lives, even though we can't hear him, even though we can't see him, and even though we can't feel him, he's there. We have to know that we are not forgotten. Maybe God is allowing this terrible time to happen for a reason. Maybe you can learn something from this. And we have to know that above all, God still loves us, and he always will. He is still working. We are his creation. He loves us and he only wants the best for us. We are priceless and never forgotten.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me? There we go. All right. Well, I would just like to start off by saying that I am so thankful to be able to share my story with you this morning. I never really expected that I'd be where I am a couple of years ago, although I think that's true for a lot of us. God has done many amazing things in my life, and he has led me on a journey that until now I haven't really shared with very many people because I didn't really feel like I was ready. And to be honest, I'm still not confident that I'm ready, but I've learned that when God wants you to do something, you better just cooperate and do it, because if not, he'll find some other way to make you do it anyway. So, and I felt like God was just urging me to begin sharing my story. And it is my prayer that as you listen to my testimony, that you'll be able to find something that encourages you in your own walk with God. So to start off, I grew up in a Christian family. My father read Bible stories to me ever since I was little, and I decided I wanted to follow Jesus when I was 5 years old. I grew up going to a non-denominational church, but I never quite felt like I really fit in at that church. I was the only kid that was homeschooled for the most part, and it's just kind of hard to get along that when you have that difference. And it was kind of more of a casual church, and my mom would always make me wear these really pretty dresses with matching shoes and everything, so just kind of always felt a little out of place. But and on top of that, I always acted a little more mature for my age, and I tended to get along better with the adults than I did the kids my own age. But more important than all this, I didn't really have a good relationship with God, at least not the kind of relationship that I now know is possible. And I would read my Bible when it was necessary, but I never really got anything out of it. So, anyway, as time progressed, things in my family started going south. My dad started having a hard time finding work, and we were going on and off of unemployment benefits, which is very stressful, and my mom was starting to get upset a lot with all this increased stress. Then, when I was about 12 years old, my dad was diagnosed with a pulmonary embolism, which, those of you who don't know, it's a blood clot that gets stuck in your arteries. It's really bad. And I remember being about 12 years old and the doctor coming into the hospital room and telling me that my dad almost died, which is very memorable, but, you know, kind of scary for a 12-year-old. And this opened the door to a mountain of other health problems that my dad dealt with and has since been in and out of the emergency room for about the last 6 years. So with all this increased stress with my dad's health and our financial problems, my mom started to become very verbally and emotionally abusive to both my dad and I. And it started out small, but it grew worse over time. Needless to say, I grew up pretty fast. I wasn't very happy most of the time, and I had no idea that when a ticket presented itself to have a good relationship with God, a ticket that would eventually rescue me from this life I was living presented itself when it did. It all goes back to when I met a family I met in gymnastics class for homeschoolers. Met them, and they were an Adventist family, and they invited me to join a homeschool swim team. And on this swim team, there were a lot of other Adventist families, and I started to develop a group of friends. And eventually, this new group of friends talked my mom into letting me come try out Pathfinders over the summer and go play softball with the Pathfinder Club. So I went. It was the summer of 2013, and I still remember my first time going, and I actually really felt like I belonged somewhere. And I remember feeling like I met a group of people my age who were like-minded. It was on that day that I met the person who has now become one of my best friends and whose family has adopted me sort of as an honorary sister and daughter. And I was hooked on doing Pathfinders pretty much from day one. And eventually, my mom agreed to let me do it, even though she wasn't an Adventist and no way wanted me to ever be Adventist. And I had no idea that at that time, the journey that I'm on now, I just had no idea that it was starting then. And it has led me to be in front of all of you today. During my first year in Pathfinders, I did everything I could to fit in with these new friends I'd made. I learned to avoid discussing what I ate for dinner, if it had anything at all to do with meat. Yeah, and I also kind of avoided discussing how I spent my weekends, and I finally felt accepted, and I didn't want to do anything to stick out. And I also learned many interesting terms that first year, such as haystacks. Learned their nachos, basically nachos with no meat, not just a pile of hay. So, you know, who knew? My second year in Pathfinders, which was my eighth grade year in school, was when things really started to change. I decided I was going to try doing Bible experience. And while I still didn't particularly love reading my Bible at this point in time, I had discovered that I was pretty good at memorizing things. So I thought I'd give it a try. And, you know, the fact that most of my friends were doing it had no bearing on that decision at all. But, you know, regardless of how I started doing it, it was an experience that really changed my life. When I, that first year, I ended up studying the book of Matthew and memorizing about 7 chapters, which amounted to about 300 verses. And I've done Bible experience every year since. And even though that first year was the only year that my team didn't qualify to go to the division level, I feel like it's the year that I learned the most, because I learned what it was like to have a relationship with God and how to study my Bible. And that was by far like the most important thing I have ever learned how to do. And that relationship that I've been building with God ever since then is incomparable to anything I'd ever known before. That year was also the year that I started noticing how my Pathfinder friends' families acted different. They had this sense of joy, and it wasn't something I could quite pin down. And it was something that I realized was absent from my own family. So that, combined with my newfound hobby of studying God's Word, I was inspired to start studying my Bible to test the things that I'd been told by my family. I explored the Adventist beliefs and made an effort to understand what made these people different. I asked God to lead me in my study of His Word and to reveal what His truth was. It was a long process, realizing and accepting that some of the things I've been told throughout my whole life, in my opinion, were not exactly biblical. But nevertheless, the process had begun. I began having different beliefs than my parents. I started becoming irritated when my parents would present their beliefs as my own. And I tried to explain what I was discovering with them. And my father remained pretty open and would discuss things with me, but my mother didn't really want to have anything to do with it. She pretty much discounted what I would say and just, you know, told me I was wrong. So, yeah, I kept most of my studying discoveries to myself for a long time. And as time progressed, things in my family got worse. My mom was becoming more emotionally abusive every day. At the time, I had no idea what I was experiencing was actually abuse. I avoided talking about my mom's behavior with anyone. And, yeah. But my faith during this time was strengthening. And when I was about 15 years old, I started discovering that I wanted to be baptized and I wanted to become a member of the Adventist Church. However, that was not overly possible because my mom was very adamant about making sure I would never be Adventist. Anytime I would bring up anything about my beliefs I had developed, she would tell me how wrong I was and state that she'd be very disappointed in me if I ever did that. And me being the people pleaser that I am, kind of felt like I'd been punched in the stomach. You know, I often kind of felt that way, but nothing hurt quite as much as hearing her attack my faith in Christ. I could never directly state that I was thinking about becoming an Adventist. I didn't want to not be allowed to go to Pathfinders or the church I'd recently been able to attend. So I had to keep most of my convictions and beliefs hidden for a long time. The older I got, the more I realized that something was wrong with my home life. I started realizing that when I went on trips without my parents, I felt like a completely different person. And when I went home, it was as if a cloud would set over me. And I realized that my mother's behavior was not normal, and that I was miserable almost all the time. So I started to make all sorts of connections, which eventually led me to start researching abuse and mental conditions about a year ago. What I discovered completely shocked me. I found out that my mom was emotionally and mentally abusing me, and had been for years. I discovered there was a reason that I felt the way that I did. I realized that my mom was controlling and manipulative, and I couldn't take it much longer. I couldn't let my mom control me how she was. I couldn't take her yelling or swearing or any of her abuse anymore, and I couldn't keep hiding my faith. I consulted with a few people that I trusted and decided I needed to leave home as soon as I turned 18. And I had a whole plan for how that would happen, but God had something else in mind. So on August 3rd of 2018, it's about a month before I turned 18, I had a full-blown anxiety attack from my mother's behavior. I went to the hospital because I felt like I was having a heart attack, and it took the doctors hours to get my heart rate back to normal. After my hospital visit, I was able to convince my parents that I needed to stay someplace else for a bit. I was then able to contact my honorary family, and I never returned home. The rest of my family and several of my other close friends and their families got involved and helped me figure out what to do. While the anxiety attack I experienced was very unpleasant, it allowed the process of me leaving home to be much easier than I anticipated, and it opened a lot of doors for other people to be involved in the process that otherwise may not have been able to be involved. So God really can turn anything around for good. It was finally over. The truth of what I'd lived with for the past 6 years or so was finally out. I was completely raw. My world had practically been turned upside down in about a day, but my life was moving upward. God gave me strength in a time I should have been weak. God provided for me, even though I was scared. I was so grateful to God for what he had done for me. And it reminded me of the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians while he was in prison. And Philippians 4:4 says, "To rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice." And sometimes, I think we forget that God has our lives in control. We forget that he has a plan, and we forget to rejoice because he is always with us, even when we have a hard time seeing it. Even with all the stress of figuring out how to support myself, finish high school, get ready for college, and not to mention all these fun adulting things that no one ever tells you about, I was feeling better than I had in a couple of weeks than I had in a very long time. I had joy because I knew that God would sustain me. I was free from my mom's yelling and insults, free to express the faith that I had freely, and free to actually really be myself for the first time in my life. When I had spent time with God studying his word and learned the truth that existed in it, I knew that he was going to figure something out for me. He was faithful to deliver in the Bible, and he is just as faithful today. I learned to trust God. I learned that his way is always better than my own. I learned that God cared for me because he cares even for the sparrows. He knows how many hairs are on my head, and he knows that there's a purpose for my life. And I know that even though so many of the things I lived through and experienced were unpleasant, that they happened for a reason, and God is and will continue to use those experiences as part of a testimony for his greatness. You know, God doesn't promise that following him will be easy, but he does promise that he'll be with us. He promises to give us the strength that we need to overcome whatever we are facing. We all have hard times, and we all need Christ in our lives as our best friend because he is the only one who can faithfully bring us through our trials. One of my favorite Bible characters is Paul, because to me, he's the ultimate example of how anyone can be turned around for God, an example of how anything can be used for good to glorify God. Paul is also very bold in his faith, and he just tells it like it is. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians 12. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 10 for all of you. It says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" I love this passage because it reminds me that no matter what I'm going through, God will not let me go through it alone. He is there beside me, making his strength known through my weakness. God has always been faithful to give me the strength that I need, and I know he will continue to do so for the rest of my life. Now, one of the things I wanted to accomplish after leaving home was getting baptized. I've been waiting for that day for a long time, and I wanted to testify to others that I believe in Jesus Christ and everything that he has done and still does today. I wanted to finally publicly display my decision to follow him, a decision I initiated when I was 5 that grew into a personal relationship with him that brought me through the hardest time in my life. And I could think of no better way to be baptized than on a Pathfinder campout. Pathfinders was what paved the way for me to have a genuine personal relationship with Christ that shaped me into the person that I am today. I would hate to see the person that I would be today if I'd never started Pathfinders and never developed the relationship that I have with Jesus. It made the difference between me becoming another statistical result of abuse and me being a daughter of God, someone who overcomes the troubles that the world presents and whose core desire is to live for God, to build a life founded on his love, and to live a life of service for Christ. And I think it is only fitting that I get to share my baptism today with the church family that is responsible for the Pathfinder Club that has been such a blessing in my life. So, please watch. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
We're thankful to have family members that are here to be able to celebrate this together, but we're especially thankful for the Pathfinder Club. This is the public declaration of I'm all in, I'm going all the way.
Carissa, because of your love for Jesus, because of your commitment to follow him and to give him your life and say, here I am, take me. It's my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and for all of those of you who are wondering, the water was very cold. So, that's what happens when you get baptized in a mountain runoff. It was quite a memorable day for me. Definitely one of the best days of my life. I got to publicly display my decision to follow God, which is a fulfillment to a prayer that I'd been praying for several years. God had faithfully seen me through and had provided for me yet again. God has helped me to move past what happened to me. He has given me the strength to not be angry with my mom and to rebuild a relationship with my dad. God will make us strong through our trials. It's when we have experienced hard things that our faith grows at an exponential rate. We learn to lean on God and be thankful for the things we have. With each hardship I have experienced, I can honestly say that I have learned something. And looking back on my life, I can see how it really did turn out for good in the end, even though at the time I couldn't really understand it. God makes beauty from ashes. His love helps us face our fears, our challenges, and everything that life brings us. He is a great and awesome God who created all things, and he gave his son to redeem a world that had turned away from him. He is a God of great love. He is a God who has a purpose for my life and for yours, and he cares for you deeply. I know I have personally experienced God's hand in my life. When I look back and see all the things that led me to where I am standing today, I know that they were not coincidences, but God's hand paving the way for my future. He worked a miracle in my life. God can truly use anything for his glory. So just remember, whatever hardship you are experiencing is not for nothing. Trust in God to use it for good. And never forget the greatness of the God we serve. Thank you.